you might remember, that we had record numbers of young people heading off to Easter camps. It's not about numbers, but we do have 30 young people who have indicated a desire. That's from Form 1 to 7 or Year 7 to 13. 30 young people who have indicated a desire to be connected with West. But here's the thing. There's some cycles going on that I've noticed, and I think, and this morning I want to name that in the hope that we think more about this as a church and what we want to do about our young people going forward. The story goes like this, the cycle goes like this. Our kids and lots of other tamariki finishing spots with primary school want to join in with what we're doing. We bust our guts to getting them along to e-camp or Easter camp, but then we run out of steam and things drift and the relationships that start off so well just seem to peter out. It seems to happen every couple of years. Now, obviously, this isn't great, is it? Currently, there are nine young people connected with us, seven of which are out from our own families. So seven of our own families and two from outside of Sunday Morning West. Okay? So nine all up. 14 went to camp. 30 are keen to connect. So there's huge opportunity, but some sizable challenges for us. This reminds me of Jesus when he saw the masses of people keen to learn about him. From Matthew chapter 9. When he saw the crowds, he felt sorry for them. They were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "A large crop is in the fields, but there are only a few workers. Ask the Lord in charge of the harvest to send out workers to bring it in." We'll come back to this topic a little bit later. Another part of our Westway Ford says this: Sunday morning church as we know it doesn't work, isn't working for unchurched people. We cannot keep going and expect, as we are, and expect new families to fully participate. So whilst our regular Sunday services will continue to be a creative place of shelter, faith and laughter, we'll also experiment with new alternative ways of being church. And whilst it's not specifically aimed at unchurched people, it's been a delight to see our Thursday night church start up. It's a space that is simple, relational, conversational, and it wouldn't be happening without the leadership of David and Jacob and Lou. Hearing the conversations and reflections of people, it seems very clear to me that God is at work in that space. So there's some wide reflections on, yeah, how we're noticing God at work. So, yeah, in us and through us and in the community as well. So celebrating Matariki involves sharing of kai. So in the crazy busyness of supermarkets on New Year's Eve, if that's anything to go by, then sharing kai certainly is a shared value amongst cultures around the time of New Year, isn't it? Oh, it's full on. So let's turn our hearts towards thinking of a key time that Jesus shared kai with his friends. They were in the city. They were in a city during a festival. And Jesus wanted to do this as he knew that he was what was about to be finished. And that was his earthly life. And he knew a new season was about to start, his resurrected life. And so during this meal, Jesus takes some bread in his hands and he breaks it and he gives thanks for it. He broke the bread and handed it to his apostles, including the man who would betray him. Then he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Eat this as a way of remembering me." Then Jesus took a cup of wine and passed it to his friends, saying, "Take this cup. This is like my blood. It is for you. Drink it." Now, of course, this sounds pretty gross to us, doesn't it? Eating and drinking what Jesus says is his body and blood. But the idea Jesus was communicating was to take on board Jesus' very life. Consume him. In the sense of being nourished by him. ingest Jesus into our lives. Let him energize us and give us life. His life. His life that brings freedom. His life that demonstrates the way of true love. His life that enables true life. Jesus' life and love is for all people, and participating in eating a little bit of bread and grape juice is something anyone and everyone can do. Each of us are welcome. Welcome to be nourished by Jesus, to take more of his life into our lives. And so I invite you to come when you are ready. And when you come, to come with an open heart, an expectant heart, that in the eating, in the quiet, God is here with you. God is here with us. So maybe listen and respond. And we'll collect up the cups at the very end of the service after the benediction. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and our bodies to be a living sacrifice. In dying, you destroyed our death. In rising, you restored our life. And by faith, we look to you for leadership and nourishment in this time and all times. Lord Jesus, you came to us, and this morning we come to you. Amen. Me anoi tātou. Loving God, you have always loved and received us. We have taken bread and grape juice into our bodies. We have taken your very life into our bodies. Now may these hands be the hands of Christ in the world. May they do no violence. May these ears, these eyes see those who are overlooked. May these ears listen to those who are unheard. May these voices be raised for the voiceless. May our talk of you never be empty. May these feet take us where Christ leads. And may these hearts and minds be open to your Spirit. We bring to mind people we know, people we love, people that pop into our mind, people we have met recently, people who haven't yet awoken to your unfailing love and kindness. Loving God, have mercy. We bring to mind people in our church family who are struggling for whatever reason. Loving God, nourish them and have mercy. We bring to mind people in Aotearoa who have flooded homes and those who've ended up with no home. Loving God, bring your comfort and stability. We bring to mind people around the world, especially in Burma, India, and South Africa. Loving God, bring justice, healing, and hope. In and through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So we've looked back, we've eaten together, and now it's time to look forward. So with someone else who, you know, likes the same as you at New Year, maybe you find someone different. Find someone different. What's one thing you're still looking forward to this year? What's one thing you're not looking forward to? And any wonderings about where God might be leading us as a church? Okay. Here we go. Love getting out of our seats. What's that? Oh, do we need some hands again? Okay, so the groups, hands up. Who are the dancers, singers, music people? Oh, no one this time. James, you're a dancer. Okay, the food and drink people. Yeah, quite a few of you. The conversations and games people. Yep, some people there. Others? Oh, that's quite interesting. I'm wondering what that is. Oh, a bit early? Is it a bit early group? That'd be me. Okay, so here we go. A couple of questions. Let's take not many minutes to do that. It'd be really good to just, you know, connecting. That's part of our worship, isn't it? Relating well with one another. Okay, you want to wrap up that conversation, please. Okay, so I'm wondering, does anyone want to, you know, be brave and use this and just tell us something that was, you know, on their heart, particularly around that last question? There any wonderings about where God might be leading us? As a church, we've done some collective communal discernment on that, but, you know, God's always present and there for us and speaking and leading. Anyone? Oh, okay.
It would be great if we spent this was a central hub in Spotswood community.
So, yeah, David said it would be great if West was a central hub in the Spotswood community. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Ezra, can you come and run this for me, please?
In our conversation, that West would be known in our community as a place where people could be set free from whatever they need to be set free from.
God's into freedom. Yeah, that's really cool. Hey, thank you. Hey, so there's really just one area that I'd like to make comment on regarding how I think God might be leading us as a church, and it's about young people. So as I said earlier, we seem to have this cycle going on, lots of youth wanting to participate in something, us giving it a boost, but then nothing sort of happening. And this is not at all happening because we don't care. Many people do really deeply care. And it's not that we don't have the skills or anything else like that as a church. I think we do. It's certainly not about blame, though I must say this does weigh heavily on my heart as someone who knows all of these young people. So where is God in the midst of this? We need God to be leading us. And I wonder if it's going to require a different approach to what we've tried so far. So allow me to wonder aloud a little. So 2 weeks ago, Mosaic youth leader Lance Pilbrow was with us and sharing about what the point of youth ministry is. And he shared how leading research discovered that the foundation, the very first crucial step in young people being able to make positive development in their lives, was addressing needs around belonging and identity. Oh, I think I had that on PowerPoint. This is probably no surprise to us at all. That makes sense. It's what we need too. We all need that. And God is fundamentally relational. Which leads us to the key question, this one here. As people who believe we have some really good news that would make a massive difference in young people's lives, how can we create a sense of belonging and identity that is going to give young people somewhere to stand, a place from where they can build a flourishing life from? And this is where Lance spoke about the importance of third places. After home, school, another place of belonging and acceptance. Churches can be these third places. And we're so well positioned relationally and geographically to do that, to be that hub center in the Spotswood community. So how could we do it? This is one of the things at the forefront of my mind. We have great servant-hearted people and people very skilled at connecting with others. So, I mean, do we build a team? We'd need at least one person to champion that. So who would be willing to do that? Because it is a big commitment. And could we consider employing them for the large chunk of time and skill a role like that would require? And how would financing something like that work? We have a great space downstairs. How could we utilize that space? And we have so much trust and basic friendship within our community. How can we connect not just with youth but their families? And would something like a fortnightly or monthly gathering for youth, could something like that work? Do we start praying about and thinking about employing somebody with these sorts of skills? These are just some way wonderings that I share quite intentionally with you as I wonder if God is up to something here. Our leadership board have started talking a little bit about this. So after the service, during the week, any other time, I'd love to hear your thoughts as well, or the board would. So feel free to, you know, make contact and ask about that. Yeah. Oh, Alan, yeah.
I've heard a lot from here saying, how can we do this? How can we utilize that?
Yeah.
Have we bothered to spend time asking God what his opinion is on it?
Yeah, that's great.
He wants us to do.
Yeah.
Because if we're trying to do things and it's not what God wants us to do, it ain't going to work no matter how much money and time we throw at it. It has to be what God wants us to do in that time.
Yeah, and I think that's, so we're on the same page. We're saying exactly the same thing, that this is what we're encouraging to pray and think about this, yeah. And I would also be very quick to say that the things that we have done previously, I think, have very much come out of that same place of responding to God, of having the people who are in front of us at the center of what we've been trying to do. So I think, and there's been some really, really positive things in that. Yeah. So I think the Apostle John nails it pretty well. He says in chapter 1, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So let's pray. God, you are in the world. God, you are moving in the world. And each person, young person, is your child. They belong to you, God. They are loved by you, whether they know it or acknowledge it or not. And we affirm, God, that you are the true light. And knowing your light brings light into our lives. So please lead us in thinking about how to make space for our young people within our church and with those in our community that you are drawing to be a part of us. They feel a sense of being drawn, God, and we believe that that is something that you've placed on their hearts. And so we ask that you'd place a way forward on our hearts as well, so that they may experience community and belonging and a sure identity in you. So we lift up all these, especially these 10, 11, 12, 13-year-olds. And we ask that your hand of protection be upon them and that you'd open our hearts to you and to them even more, God. We look to you, the light of the world. Please illuminate the way for us. Amen. Amen. Over to Andy.